Welcome to Voice Fiction. Meet authors of e-books, audiobooks, and audio drama. Be enlightened by post-production specialists, directors, voice actors, and learn more about the wonderful world of online audio. And now your host, John Tattersack.
Thank you, Joe Skufko, for that fine introduction, and John Toth for that fine music. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining Voice Fiction. Our co-hosts at the round table are Bobby Owens, Colin Thornton, Glenn Higby. Our subject today is voice actors, with our guest hosts, Russell Gold, Elise Krawick, and Karen Kaler. Russell Gold is a mild-mannered software developer for Oracle. By day and by night, he's a voice actor for a number of production companies. Elise Krawick lives in New Orleans. She began voice acting in 2007, when on a whim, she auditioned for her first role in Star Trek Excelsior. She enjoyed it, and she's still going strong. Karen Kaler is an actor, voice artist, and writer, and living in Los Angeles. She is best known for voicing a frightful elderly bunny in a video game, Dust. She also plays a host of witches and evil queens in various adventure games. Welcome to the round table. Colin, I believe you have the first question.
Yeah, I do have the first question. I was waiting for Elise to be here.
Elise, can you say something?
How now, brown cow?
Okay. Excellent. So Elise is here. Okay. Okay. Well, let's get going then.
You didn't say what to say. You said something.
Good job.
Okay. Is our
okay,
guest
well,
host?
I'm going to start it off then. It's Colin speaking. This is to, I don't know, Karen. What is it about audio drama and voice fiction that appeals to you personally?
Well, I am drawn to storytelling of any kind, be it theater, film, video game narrative, or audio drama. I think what really appeals to me about audio drama, though, is that it has an element that is left up to the imagination of the audience. And so all the blanks aren't filled in, and there's room for imagination. I like that, and I also like the fact that because of that, you can have a very high-budget setting, say a sci-fi epic that in film would involve green screen and all sorts of effects and all sorts of budget, and you can do that relatively cheaply with audio drama.
With your voice and a couple of sound effects.
Exactly.
Russ, do you want to take a stab at the same question?
Well, I like her answer. I want to steal most of it. I've been doing theater of one kind or another since I was in elementary school. And for religious reasons, I had to give that up a while ago. And then when I discovered audio drama, I said, terrific, I can do most of the same thing from home.
I can't let that slide. Religious reasons?
Yes. I am an Orthodox Jew, so which means that I keep Shabbos. And community theaters tend to perform on Friday nights and Saturday nights when I cannot be there.
Ah, okay.
So I can record this way. I record on my own time around whatever things might prevent me from making somebody else's schedule.
Hmm. Interesting. I hope you don't think I was prying, prying. But
I wouldn't have said it if I wanted to keep it secret.
Okay. Elise, how do you create a character with just your voice?
It's just a process of reading looking at the script and the other characters around it and trying to kind of get into the character's head. Reading the audition lines sometimes can give me enough to say, I want to take it in this direction or that direction. And that's pretty much it. I'm basically a method actor. I will jump in one place and I will keep going. And if that doesn't work, I'll switch my method.
Elise says, Captain John, could you give us maybe two or three examples of different voices you use?
Well, I'm Captain Rachel Cortez of the USS Excelsior. I am also Dr. Rachel Winston on the Starship Chimera.
So you use this same voice for, say, for your characters?
All the characters. It just depends on what the character requires. I can do a soft Southern accent if you want me to.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Even though I don't necessarily have the Southern accent, it's just, it's part of my heritage. I was born in the South.
Russ, could I ask you, could you give example of, say, two or three different voices, or do you also use the same voice but just different characters?
Well, Jim Nolan tends to talk a little bit higher, and he has a slight Northeastern accent. So you can usually distinguish him from Damian Sykes, who tends to speak much further down here. I actually did another one. Let me see if I can bring it back now. Without lines, sometimes it's hard to find the voices. I don't tend to use the same voice for everything, but I mostly go between the higher part of my voice or the lower part of my voice, depending on the character.
Well, you did a voice for me. It's Colin speaking. You did a voice for me, Russ, for a character called Snake.
Right. And
And
Snake is a snake and talks a more rougher voice. And it's a more aggressive type thing, and it is really difficult on my throat when I do that.
Karen, could I ask a favor, and could you give us an example of your voices?
You know, I feel that I'm one of those voice actors that does not have the cartoonish rubber-voiced range. I kind of sound like me, whatever I do. I do an awful lot of AIs. I do not know why I do AIs, but apparently I have sort of a bland and unemotional sound that works well for them. I do an awful lot of authority figures. I sort of rough it up a bit if I'm a fighter pilot or something like that versus an admiral who might be a little more, have a little more gravitas and a little more education or authority to her. I do an awful lot of elderly people as well, and an awful lot of witches, and essentially I do a variety of tough or authoritative gals.
I can hear your voice of being a witches or an evil queen, just the tone that you use right now. Thank you.
Every now and then I get a kindly mother role, and I'm always a little puzzled by those.
what does a fretful elderly bunny sound like?
Oh, my. Well, she was being attacked by giants.
I love it.
Awesome. Bunny-eating giants. Yeah.
Attacked by giants and then chastising her husband, who's a bit of a doofus.
Glenn, okay. Do you have a question?
Okay. Hey, this is Glenn. I just have a question. How do you voice act, Karen? Do you prepare for this by reading a script and really getting into it before you actually come up with a character?
Ideally, I have an entire script or at least an entire scene to work off. If there's character art, regardless of whether or not there's a visual component to the project, that's very helpful to have. Is she heavy set? Is she slim? Are her features severe? Are they gentle? Is she older? Is she younger? I work off all of that. I work off, if a piece is well written, you can usually get a feel for, the inside of the character's head. And even if the character doesn't go off on long revealing monologues, you can still tell from the way they interact with other people what they're like.
Elise, do you have an answer to that question, maybe? How do you define your voice actor or yourself?
How do I define myself?
How do you define a voice actor? What would you say to that?
Well, for me, as a voice actor, I become the character that, someone has told me many times that I'm a method actor. I immerse myself into the actor. I read the script. I look at the scene, and then I will do whatever it takes emotionally to get the voice to deliver the lines as I hear it in my head as to what the scene is presenting. What I'm usually driving for is to get to deliver the lines so that it sounds like if you were to walk into the room, you've just walked into the life of that character and you're hearing that person speaking in real time. I try not to sound like I am someone reading a script and delivering a line and then waiting for someone else to talk. I want it real life, as real life as I can get it. If that means I have to cry, I cry. If it means I have to yell, I yell. I will take the script, and if I have long passages to as a long passage as a line, I will walk through the house rehearsing it. And since I live by myself, the cats don't talk back to me. You know, I can do that. I had a couple of years ago, I had a scene that was 3/4 of a page. It wasn't a scene. It was a single line, so to speak. 3/4 of a page. It took me 2 days of rehearsing that line. And then I did it without the script because that's how I want it to sound. I want it in real life.
When you were mentioning how you can do everything at your house instead of, being an actor like on stage, that kind of leads into the question of what type of equipment do you have? You know, do you just have old school equipment? Are you doing it all computer based, microphones, et cetera?
This is strictly, if you're asking me, this is Elise. I have a microphone, I have a computer, and I have a keyboard.
Oh, well, that's it. Okay. How about Karen and Russ?
In that order?
I guess that'd be fine. Yeah.
Yes.
Or in chorus. Ready, Russ? 1, 2, 3.
And a microphone and a keyboard and a computer. And headphones.
It's just primary software based. You just have a computer just recording like a window media file or MP3 or WAV file, things like that.
Yes, basically it's I have a decent microphone and Audacity.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find quite adequate for recording stuff.
Easy to use, yeah.
Yep.
That's what I use too.
Yeah, that's what I'm using as well. I've tried to use WaveLab a bit. I'm coming from kind of an odd place because the space that I use as my recording studio is also my husband's composition studio. And that is both a blessing and a curse because there's all this fantastic equipment we've got in here. There's also a skylight, which means there's an additional place for noise to get in. So if we've got helicopters overhead or it's raining, I can't record. There is Oralex everywhere, which is this sort of, it's like the foam equivalent of corrugated cardboard. But because it is a synthetic foam, it outgasses, so it can get a very plasticky sort of smell in here. And I have to pop open the skylight to get some fresh air in. So, we lose air quality and gain a lack of echo. I was fortunate enough to get this fantastic Neumann mic, which is studio quality. A very kind sound engineer friend gave it to us as a long-term loan, and he borrows it back a time or two a year. At some point, I need to get my own.
That's amazing that he gave you a Neumann mic.
Is that not mind-blowing?
The most expensive mic that you can get. Everybody wants a Neumann. And I know you actually do this full-time, aside from your writing, so that's perfect for you. Do you foresee yourself ever doing audio full-time, if you could? Russ, if that was an option open to you and all the cards fell into the right place and you didn't have to worry about the Sabbath or anything like that because you could do it on your own time, would you foresee yourself ever just doing this full time?
I have a lot of friends who want to do this as a career, and what they have been told and what I've heard as a result is that it is very, very difficult to make a living at it. It's a wonderful thing to add on, but most professional voice actors apparently have to have other sources of income. I could not afford to live on what I could make as a voice actor.
Question for Karen. Karen, you do this full time. This is your main living. Is that not true?
Well, I'm attempting to make this my main living. I would be being horribly deceptive if I said, why, yes, this is all I do. Because part of what I do is sponge off my husband's income. He has been very, very kind in supporting me through this. I continue to work as a science writer from time to time. But definitely his support has helped. That said, I have found that of all the performing arts I have worked in, acting, dancing, what have you, the voice acting, I've been able to make the most headway in the shortest amount of time. And given that I was told years ago, voice acting is impossible to break into, it's cliquish, it's competitive, I thought, okay, I'm not built for that, I'm kind of shy, I don't like to shove my way to the front, and this is clearly not for me. Then I got interested in it and figured, I don't care, I'm going to try. I am so glad I did. It's been one of the most open communities I've ever run into, one of the most supportive communities.
A follow-up question to that, Karen. Let's say someone listening right now is wants to be a voice actor or a voice actress, and they get intrigued with doing that either for a hobby or perhaps for a living. What kind of advice would you give them? Like, where would they start, or what's the first step?
First, I would say that being a hobbyist and being a professional are two different things. Being a hobbyist can lead to professionalism, but they are two very different worlds with different expectations. I know that I'll look on a site like Voice Acting Alliance or Voice Acting Club, in which someone will apologize because they only have a two-week audition period rather than a month or two. And the real world, you maybe you see a notice 9 in the morning, and depending on where you see that notice, if you don't have something in within the next hour, forget about it.
Exactly.
And so the pace is different. You're not going to get feedback from the casting director as to whether or not you were good. And if you pester the casting director to find out whether or not you're good, they know you're an amateur and you're being a pest. So being aware of the different expectations of the different worlds is very important. I would say, though, practice, take classes. You can take a lot of classes online with some very good instructors now. So even if you're somewhere where there's not a community college or what have you, or other opportunities to study acting or voice acting specifically, you can still find plenty of opportunities. You can network. And again, a lot of that can happen online. I would also say go out of your comfort zone in terms of what you do for fun or the media that you consume. Cross-pollinate and add more fuel to the fire and keep variety coming in. I would end all this by saying that of all the online resources, one I recommend to anybody who asks me this is Crispin Freeman's Voice Acting Mastery, which is at voiceactingmastery.com. Especially start with his earliest podcasts, which talk about what the elemental building blocks of the business are like.
It's a good resource. We can post that link when we have our show notes.
Absolutely. Do all of you guys, did you, all three of you, ever work together? I know Elise, you might have worked. Did you work with John on, I'm sorry, Colin on Mirror Mirror or something like that? Have you?
Yes, I was the older Southern lady in Mirror Mirror.
The voice of experience.
Hey, wait a minute. Do we have a captain?
Let's take a break. Excuse me, folks.
Man overboard. Man overboard.
Oh, we already take that part earlier before you folks came in. But
yeah, but okay. You're going to say, yes, we have a clip. That's what you always say, something in there.
Yes, we do have a clip. Okay, are we ready? I'll tape 1, 2, 3. Yes, we do have a clip, and we can hear it right now.
By the time the woman got to the door, her husband lay dead on the floor, his blood seeping into the whiskey.
And the moral is charity. Always be kind to beggars?
No, dear. The moral is never marry a man who is cruel and heartless.
And now we're back. Thank you, folks, for listening. And shall we continue?
Radio drama on the radio is in emergency. It's on life support. I mean, will the patient live, or is it going to morph into something different, a new medium, a new art form?
Well, this is Karen. I think that radio in general, commercial radio, is similarly on life support. To a degree, so is traditional broadcast television. So is a lot of media, because the internet has set everything on its ear and everybody's still scrambling to try to figure out how it's all going to work and how to monetize and so forth. I really think that versatility is the key, and that's going to be how audio drama survives. Will it survive? I think so. Will traditional radio survive? It's going to have to metamorphose.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that storytelling has survived for 5,000 years or probably even longer. Just a change in media wouldn't kill the art form.
Absolutely.
Anyone else want to weigh in on that one?
Well, it doesn't change the art form, but certainly as people can listen to dramas online, that changes things. Plus the fact that more and more people are tending to set up their own virtual radio stations by listening to whatever they want, their phones or iPods or whatever devices. You don't have the infrastructure needs that radio always provided.
Right.
Yeah, and I was replaced by a computer, Josh, so what happened?
This is Captain John for all three of our guests. Do you have any comments about, I've noticed that more and more stars, the regular stars out there in the movies and screens and stuff like that, have gone over to the voice acting, especially for animation and stuff. Do you feel like you're being squeezed out because of what's happening?
If I could be in a position where I felt I was competing against somebody who generally makes a few million dollars a year, I'd feel really good about that.
Same here. I agree with you, Russ.
And I would agree as well. I'm not in a position to be upset by this, and yet I'm not sure I'd want to spend my time being upset about, well, so-and-so got this job, and I should have gotten that job. And well, what else is out there? And what other opportunities are there? I think it may be naive of me, but I think it's not a good use of my time to be upset over what other people get.
I'm not saying about being upset now. I'm just saying that with more and more famous names being needed to sell a product, that it's becoming harder and harder for the low person voice actor who's even trying to be a extra to get into a show.
And yet there's so many different opportunities out there.
I'm talking about financial opportunities.
I don't want to pay like take the big shows. But there's if what you want to do is act primarily, there are more opportunities than you really could ever take care of.
If you want to act, if you want to be in video games, if you want to do industrial narration, if you want to do commercials, there are scads of opportunities out there. And they're accessible to us in a way that they weren't before, because we no longer need an agent to get to everything. So we now have the internet. The problem now becomes, where do we draw the line at how we value ourselves?
Well, Karen, one of the questions is that, let's say video games, is there a certain location that a voice actor would go to see if there is a casting call?
Well, you would not. Let's see. Let me back up here. There are some casting calls that you're only going to be able to access through an agent or someone at that level. And so if you don't have those connections, you're not going to have access to those. Those are probably going to be union. They're probably going to be recorded some major place like Los Angeles. But if you are somewhere in the middle of nowhere with a good sound setup, and it doesn't have to be my quality, it just needs to be a good one that produces a clean sound, you can join a site like Voices.com or Voice123, both of which are online markets. They require an annual fee, or I think in the cases of Voices.com, you can pay a monthly fee. So you have to pay money to get access to these opportunities. But if you're good and you're competent, you can be accessing those jobs.
Did any of you, besides, I know, Karen, you studied with Nancy Wolfson, which I'd love to hear about at some point, but any of you actually study voice acting?
No.
But besides Karen?
No, I don't. No. I got into it, on a whim. A friend of mine had gotten a role in a little audio drama, and I decided next thing it looks interesting, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and see if they keep the hat or throw it back at me. and they didn't throw it back at me, and I've been going. And it was through looking at audition posts just on a website. I think it was Darker Projects. I saw an audition for an audiobook, and I threw my hat in at the last minute, not expecting to get it. I figured professionals were going to get it. And 10 days later, they asked me to do it. So, and like I say, it's just connections, you know, just keep your eyes open and don't be afraid to step outside the box.
Absolutely. Russ?
In my case, I felt I learned most of what I learned about acting from directors, which was one of the benefits of doing stage work. At least so far my experience has been.
You worked on Jim Nolan, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a clip of that, but before we go to that clip, I know that you got a lot of flack for your accent on the first episode, possibly the second of the two, but you must have a thick skin because you said, forget that, I'm still doing it, because I listened straight through, and I was like, he did not change. He said, no, I like this, this is what I go for. So I admire that, I must tell you.
Really? Yeah, I was,
yes.
I thought I had changed the accent.
To me, it sounded the same, and I was really happy that you just said, no, this is the way a character should sound, and it should sound. In fact, I think we have a clip. Let's go to the clip.
Hello, I'm Russell Gold, and I play the title character in Jim Nolan Private Eye, a private detective series set in Boston of the 1970s. Join me as I investigate some very unusual cases. You can listen at misfitsaudio.com.
And we're back. John?
I had a question for all three of our guests here. For those listening that are maybe not familiar with some of the work that you currently have going on, what are some of the projects that you all are working on right now? Let's start off with Elise.
I am I'm in Star Trek Outpost. I play Dr. Rachel Winston. I also have comeback parts in Star Trek Excelsior. I do a lot of work for Colin and Mike Murphy. But I just, you know, that's where I'm going right now. I'm strictly amateur. I've thought about would I like to get into it professionally. It appeals to me on one level. But I, like I say, those are pretty much where I'm at right now.
Okay. Russ?
Well, I'm in Dreamcatcher, which... Dreamcatcher is interesting. We've done one season. It was broadcast on WCBE in Ohio. The second season is currently being written. So we're waiting for the scripts on that one.
Okay.
I'm in Elysium, which is now in its a reboot stage, and I play James in that one. Let's see. I'm in Pawn Quests, and there are some other, and of course Jim Nolan, which is going on, and which we're now up to 20 episodes so far, waiting for the next script, which. Sounds like it's going to be a very interesting one.
Fantastic. Karen?
Let's see. I've got a whole pile of video game work waiting for me that I need to do once I log off.
That's the fun stuff.
I've been doing a lot of work for casual games, which are sort of point-and-click adventures, hidden objects games, that sort of thing, most of which are produced in Russia or Eastern Europe somewhere. So I've got a host of those coming out that I really can't talk about until they do come out, and some other games that I'm not supposed to talk about until they do come out. You can hear my voice as the computer on Dust 514, totally unrelated to the previous Dust we discussed,
right.
Which is a sci-fi shooter. In terms of audio drama, I've got something coming up for 19 Nocturne Boulevard, Julie Hoverson's production. So yeah, the pot is always bubbling.
Good to hear.
Good job, Karen. Hey, it's Glenn again. I got another question for you all three, if we can get to all three of you. What do you look for in a script? What kind of stories turn your crank? What interests you? Russell?
I'm fairly flexible. I like a lot of stories. I'm looking for... I've found in the amateur world the quality... goes from really, really bad to really, really good. So I've been attracted a lot more to those writers whom I know are very reliable at writing good stuff, such as Colin and Mike and Julie Hoverson. Otherwise, I don't know, I find that I enjoy an awful lot of stuff. I like stuff with good tension, a lot of good personal interaction. I'd love to do some romance, but I never get to do those.
Well, I gave you a romance, Russ. It's just that you were dead.
Picky.
Hey, I was dead too. What's up with that?
Hey, guys, I think we're going to get really close to wrapping up here. Contact information. How do you folks prefer to be contacted? Via Facebook, email? What's your preference? Again, let's start off with Elise.
Either?
Okay. Russell?
Any of them are fine. Facebook, email, Skype, whatever.
Okay. And Karen?
I would say Facebook is probably the best. I do have a voice actor page on Facebook, which is probably the best way for people who don't know me personally or that I haven't worked with to reach me.
Sounds good.
So we'll put all this on the website. So we.
Yes. I'm hearing our closing music, and I would like to thank our guests, Elise Krawick.
Cool.
Karen Kaler. Russell Gold.
Karen Kaler is delighted to hear that.
always Elise Crowick.
I did enjoy your stepping in on the I can't even remember, Candy Apple Red.
Thank you. John's expressed caller.
Taylor.
Yeah, I told Karen, I almost hope John doesn't fix this, because I like hearing that interjection.
I traditionally tell people I rhyme with double wide trailer, not holler, which is an excellent indicator that I'm from northern Louisiana originally.
Well, I live in Louisiana, but I'm not from here.
Most people do not have trouble pronouncing my name.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What's Russ's last name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Gold.
Like platinum? Silver?
Hey, Russ, have you thought about, I don't even know if you use it, because I couldn't find your website. It's not quite up yet, I see, but do you go the Voice of Gold?
No, I never thought of that.
Nice.
I won't even charge you too much for that.
Very nice. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to call this meeting adjourned for our guest tonight. So to that end, I call this meeting adjourned.
This is your announcer, Joe Stofko, for Voice Fiction. The opinions expressed during roundtable discussions are that of individuals and do not necessarily reflect the position of Voice Fiction. This episode is copyright 2013, Voice Fiction Productions. For full disclaimer and privacy policy, visit voicefiction.com. Thanks for listening. Until we meet again.